Welcome, everybody, to an episode of The Paranormal Diner. I'm your host, Jay Hill, and we have a special guest, Alex. Gastja. Is that your last name, Gastja?
Yep, that's it.
Okay. All right. I usually butcher people's last names, so I just, you know, I think I'm like, I don't know, 20 or 22. So, yeah. But,
No, you're okay.
Yeah. So, this is a different show. I usually do Paranormal Saloon, and I do others that are connected with the paranormal and whatnot. But, yeah. So we're live on YouTube. This is pretty much the only platform that I'll use. I mean, I used to use Facebook every once in a while, but it just kind of got older. I mean, it got old, and it just, yeah. So I just thought, you know, YouTube's it, and so here we are. Plus, all these recordings and these videos that I do, people usually listen to me on their podcast, on their, like Spotify, and for audio files and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's all becoming more popular now, so. Yeah,
people don't want to sit down and watch a video of two people talking to themselves unless they're a celebrity, and which I am not. You are somewhat of a celebrity in that sense, but yeah,
really?
So, yeah, well, I mean, you've got a nice following on TikTok and even on Facebook, and you know, I know that you're on Instagram, and you know, you're a little bit of everywhere, which is cool. You know,
oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I definitely want to think of myself as a celebrity. But, you know.
Yeah, well, I just call it how I see it.
Nice, I appreciate it.
Yeah. So, for the people that are listening and that are watching, actually, tell us a little bit about yourself. I've had you on my show before on one of my other shows, so I mean, it's been a while since I've talked to you. It's probably been a couple years, so. You need to let everybody know who you are and what you're up to.
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, Jay introduced me. My name's Alex. I'm a full-time professional psychic medium. I am a healer, demonologist, paranormal investigator, and I paint, as you can see, the nun back there. What I really do, I really lean into the mediumship with my abilities and the paranormal and demonology. So I really like to help people safely connect to their loved ones on the other side and relay messages and whatnot, because that can be really healing, help people with grieving and closure, and help people with spiritual guidance. There's all kinds of things. But then on the other hand, with the paranormal investigation and demonology, you know, helping people kind of find answers, because I grew up in a home that was very, very haunted and ended up having a failed exorcism. So I wanted to move forward and help people find answers, because, you know, you don't get that much information when people come to cleanse your home other than the spirits there. They don't tell you how to keep it at bay. There's, you know, there's no, they don't really give you much, like, spiritual warfare there. So I really try to provide that for people through enlightenment.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, it's sounds like you're pretty busy all the time. I mean, is there, you said you're a full-time medium then?
I am. I would love to be more busy, because, you know, being a full-time psychic medium definitely isn't easy. You have to love what you do. You don't make a lot of money. So I'm very grateful to make the money that I do to be able to support myself. But,
So there's been a lot of, as of late, I would say probably in the last couple of years. I mean, it seems like mediums have kind of popped up out of nowhere. I mean, I don't know if it's just, if you notice it, where there's a lot of what I call armchair mediums, where they just kind of are in it for the financial gain of it. You know what I mean? And they're not really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've ran into a couple different ones. Now, me being a psychic medium myself, I don't advertise myself as such. I mean, I'm kind of like I'm active only when I'm prompted to be. You know, I do a lot. I used to do, you know, live readings and stuff like that, but I just didn't think that that was my forte. You know what I mean? I do investigations, and I do like psychic walkthroughs for paranormal teams and stuff like that. So I kind of use my gifts in different ways. And
Heck yeah.
So, you know, I kind of have to split reality with the spiritual side. Now, I was going to ask you, how long until you realized that you split that, where it was from reality to the, you strictly do know the spiritual side of it?
I guess that's a good question, because splitting reality and the spiritual aspect of it, reality being like, coincidence, would you say, or,
Right. Everyday life, you know, the reality of everyday life, people where they have to get a job and they have to, you know, to support themselves and everything, but you strictly are spiritual. I mean, you're on that side. You live a life. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying, that when did that become a thing where you decided to just be the spiritual side of it, where you wanted to help people?
Gotcha. So honestly, I didn't even, it's so odd because I didn't realize that that's really where I was headed. I knew I loved doing readings. I wasn't even charging for a long time. You know, I was doing it out of high school and just, so I knew it was part of my path. I didn't know that it was going to become my full-time job until I kind of feel like COVID pushed me to do what I needed to do, because then people were, you know, being let go of their jobs. I was cut short of many hours at my part-time job. And it was just my part-time job. My other part-time job was readings. So it was weird how I was basically almost let go of my job. I was only given one day a week to work because of COVID. They didn't need me. And I was newer to the crew too, so they really didn't need me. So my business took off as I like didn't have a part-time job anymore. And that was about 4 years ago. So it's kind of weird how the universe kind of just pushes you to do what you got to do or what you're meant to do, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a struggle sometimes. I mean, there's some people that I know that do both, and it's a struggle for them to do a regular job.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they have to, you know, they kind of jump into, I got to do readings at night or whatever, you know what I mean? So it's just one of those things where, kudos to people that can juggle that. I was doing that for a little while, but I kind of was getting burnt out, and I was like, yeah, I need to limit. I couldn't limit my normal day job because that was my breadwinner. So I kind of was like, okay, I need to kind of trim down what I'm doing at night and, you know, just kind of, you know, kind of give a little bit of an even keel somewhere, you know? So,
I can agree with you there. Like,
let's talk a little bit. People can just be, you know, can do a lot of different things, but I can do it, but I get tired really easy. I'm getting old, you know, but, let's talk a little bit about, some of your experiences as, a medium, as in like when you do your investigations and stuff. How often do you do investigations?
So I've slowed down a little bit more the past year or so. But I do investigations whenever the opportunity arises. I have recently done an investigation. I've done a couple actually in the past few months. The most recent one, we were getting some pretty rapid activity, and I've noticed now using my mediumship ability, the more and more that I investigate, it is crazy how many more responses I feel like you end up getting with a psychic medium there, because it's like they, you know, you walk in and they know that you're able to communicate with them. They already know. Yeah, I don't know. I love using it for investigations. I try to investigate literally as any time I'm able to.
Right. That's kind of a given thing for me as well. I mean, I was recently at Waverly Hills Sanitarium.
Wow, yeah.
Okay, so just to talk a little bit about that, I basically, I kind of guarded myself already. I have a very good protection, aura of protection around me. So I wasn't quite expecting this, but when I went there, it was like, everybody's like, oh, it's kind of scary. It's this and it's at night, you know, blah, 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 whatever. And for some reason, I haven't really had that fight or flight feeling as of late. I mean, hardly in the last few years, I really haven't. I don't know if it's just because of my gifts or what, but yeah. So anyways, I get to the sanitarium and I was walking into rooms in the dark by myself and, you know, hallways and this and that. And it was just like, I felt a lot of sadness, a lot of disappointment, you know, a lot of people were, you know, lost loved ones who couldn't be helped. And it was sad, you know what I mean? In that sense.
Yeah.
But
oh yeah,
physical pain was not my friend that evening, because my whole body hurt. I mean, I was in excruciating pain everywhere. And now I don't experience that. So I wanted to know, since you were talking about when you do investigations and you have used your gifts during an investigation, what are some of the emotional or physical attributes that have affected you?
So depending on really what place, for like, let's use me going to the Conjuring House, for example, that I believe that the land in the home had so many spirits and so much activity, so much energy, good, bad, so much that it was physically affecting me. I was getting nauseous. I had fainted. Thankfully, somebody caught me. I would have been going to a hospital. I would have cracked my head open. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, the nausea, it was just, and it kind of bounced from one person to another. I've experienced extreme headaches before. I remember the one time, this place is now not open to investigations. While I lived in New York, we had gone to, me and my old group and some friends had gone to the Hull House homestead.
Okay.
And I asked to skip out on the walkthrough. Everyone else went. One person, my friend, stayed behind to film me doing the psychic walkthrough because I didn't want to know anything prior to.
Mm-hmm.
I started to actually, I had to get out of the car. I thought I was having a reaction to the car. I started to feel burning on my lips. I was like, I think somebody was burned alive or something. Mm-hmm. And I believe that was something that they thought to be part of the history there. Mm-hmm. So you can get physical sensations, not necessarily as like a psychic attack necessarily, but sometimes spirits are actually making an emotional connection with you and trying to relay what was happening to them or what has happened. So right. Physical.
Right.
So real quick,
you know, talking about what you just said about the spirits trying to communicate in that way, you know, like with the physical, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
In my thought process, I kind of figured that because of the fact that I had kind of blocked myself emotionally, because I wanted to experience the building, you know what I mean? I didn't quite block my or protect myself physically. You know what I mean? Whereas in like that whole emotional stress or trauma. So maybe that was, when I think about it, maybe that was the only way that they could reach out and connect was through pain and through, you know what I mean? Whereas in that person was laying in the bed and, you know, they were experiencing that. And so it kind of like transcended. So I experienced a lot of that, especially in my back and my legs and even in my chest, you know what I mean? So it was kind of like, I just felt awful, you know? And when I got back to the Airbnb where I was staying, I was fine, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly.
So that was a first for me, you know, and it took a while for me to recover from that. It took me about a week to recover spiritually and physically and mentally. And, you know, it was just, it was so draining and so, when you go to some of these places, is there a ritual, or is there something that you do that kind of helps you so that you don't get so drained or get so affected?
So believe it or not, I do try to ground cleanse, protect myself with a multitude of things, whether it is cleansing waters, cleansing oils, you know, smoking herbs. I will actually, you know, power of command is huge. So, saying like, you know, I am divinely protected, or making sure that you're really in control of your energy. I will layer up on protection. A lot of times you do have to let spirit in a little bit to do the walkthrough and whatnot. So a lot of times I'll go a lot more in depth afterward and make sure that nothing is coming home with me. Right. And kind of repeat that a little bit more in depth after the investigation as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I try to do some of that too. And I was just curious of what your routine was, but I do something similar. But a lot of it is just, it depends. I mean, when you go out into the world, I mean, I have to protect myself when I leave the house.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to go to Walmart or, you know, a grocery store or something like that. And then all of a sudden I'm getting, you know, these feelings of whatever. And it's just like, oh man.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's almost like, you know, that whole speech of, or that whole phrase of, you know, put on the whole armor of God, and you know what I mean? So, I mean, I pretty much do that, you know what I mean? Just because, I mean, the world is so...
It's necessary nowadays. I mean, you don't want to pick up on other people's energy.
Right. And I have, and I know, and every place that I've ever been, I mean, issues, or ever lived in, has had something. Except for where I live now, which has nothing, which is nice because I'm actually able to decompress. You know what I mean? At times. But if I go out to the grocery store or to anywhere, you know what I mean? I got to make sure I have to be aware of that. You know, when you walk by somebody and it's kind of like, what are they carrying? You know, and I try not to look too much into other people like that. I kind of keep my head down and walk. I like to watch people. Don't get me wrong. I like, you know, I'll sit on a busy corner at downtown, and I like to sit on the bench and just kind of watch people walk by. That's great. But I don't look too much into them, but it's kind of like an invasion of privacy. But yeah, yep. There's something there is something that's there that's not so nice, and it's kind of like in your energy field, and you know it. Yeah, it's just, I've had that happen a lot. Where people bumped into me, and it's just like, ugh. You know, so.
Yeah, it's an exchange of energy. Because, everywhere you go, you are exchanging energy. And so, truly, like, I mean, there's days where I'm like, and really, I think depending on what I do, I'll intuitively kind of ask myself what's needed for that day, because spirit's going to know what I'm about to bump into, what I'm running into. There's days doused my feet in Florida water, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, and that's the whole thing, too, is, you know, I mean, we were talking about how we do grounding. Well, you do grounding. I do it as well. And I will take off my shoes and stand in the yard just because I need that connection. I need that energy, that balance, you know what I mean? But it's kind of like that old, when people used to say back in the day, you know, oh, go hug a tree and everything. It's like, that's not as crazy as you think it is. You know, I mean, that tree is a life force, you know, and that is that energy. Know. Yep. That is an energy. That is a frequency. That tree has great frequency in it, and it vibes with you, and it makes you happy. Hug away.
Mind you, you actually, in the shamanism that I was actually practicing and taught under, I was taught by one of my mentors to anchor myself to the land with the tree. When you go into a haunted location, when you're going somewhere, you need to... spiritually tie yourself to a tree. That tree is rooted into the ground. It's not going anywhere, really.
That is a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so trees, absolutely hug a tree. Connect yourself to that tree.
Right, right.
You know?
Especially for investigators who are going into a haunted location and they don't, mm-hmm. let's say, particularly practice in protecting themselves or grounding themselves, you know, and they don't know what to expect, and they're coming across all these different wavelengths of energy and these frequencies, and it's hitting them left and right, and then they may not notice it that first night or that first day, but that stuff can kind of creep up after a couple of days, because it's kind of like that, I don't know, it's kind of like if you get sap on your clothes and you're not realizing it, it's there, and then like a day later when you rub your hand down it, your hands are sticky, and it's like, what is that? That's the best way for me to kind of connect those two together.
Exactly. Well, because when you, so there's different things with like aura and energy, energetic issues that you can get. And so like when we go out and get things from things, it's called energetic debris. We're getting debris left over from our day.
Right.
But then when you're going to a haunted location and something follows you and it might take a minute. That's like a spiritual attachment,
right.
And that needs to be ripped out of your chakra field.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Chakras, right,
it's just like an infestation.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that not all connect, not all, I would say, I don't know, not a connection, it's what you just said.
Attachment?
Attachment. Oh my God, that word escaped me for some reason. The attachment. Now there can be an attachment that's not necessarily negative. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. but it's somebody that wants to try to give a message to somebody or convey a message or something like that. But usually they don't stick around. You know what I mean? If there's another person with a brighter light, they'll go to that person and say, "I have a message," right? You know what I mean? So
yes,
I've run into that before, where there have been times where a spirit has come to me and said, I, you know, screaming at me and trying to get me to relay a message, and it's just like, and it's because of the fact that it's so disconnected and it's so out of whack like that. It's kind of like, what do you do with that? You don't know who it's for. You don't know. You know what I mean? And so it's kind of like, it's not always clear. Let's put it that way. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that say, oh, mediums are supposed to know this or know that. It doesn't necessarily work that way, at least not for me. You know what I mean? When you get a message or something, it's usually a puzzle that you have to figure out. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Because we're just the people getting the information. We don't know what they're saying to us. Their loved ones know. So for us, we're just trying to connect dots, and that's why it is helpful giving a message. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's definitely been times where I'm out in public with my mom where we're getting dinner or something, and spirit does point out exactly who I need to give a reading to, and occasionally I will do that, because and I'll make sure they're open to it and comfortable, of course, but there's times where I've been out and I don't know who they're trying to get me to talk to. They're just yapping, you know, like.
Right. Right. And I have too. I mean, I've gotten that where that's how I kind of work, I mean, especially with doing mediumship and stuff like that. If I'm prompted to do so, then I'll do it. If I'm not prompted, like if somebody came up to me and said, "Hey, what do you got a message for me?" If I got nothing, I'm not going to make something up. You know?
Yeah, I'm not going to say,
"Oh yeah, this loved one said this, that, and the other thing." I did an interview for a TV show, and I knew that they were going to ask me this, but I wasn't in that frame of mind when the camera guy was like, "Well, have you got anything? Are you, you know, is there a message?" And I'm like, and it was something that was random that came up to me, that came through me, and nobody knew what it was. And I said, "Well," I said, "I told this to everybody. I said, if it doesn't resonate now, it may never resonate, or it resonates in 6 months." I said, "This is all I get." I had two messages. I said, "I saw motorcycles and I saw somebody saying something about driving fast in a car, and it was really fun." That's all I got. And I said, that wasn't something I made up because I wasn't thinking about it. But I was thinking about motorcycles 2 days before, out of the blue, right before I go to bed. I'm like, why am I thinking seeing dirt bikes? And I can't figure out. Nobody knew. I'm like, well, it'll resonate with somebody somewhere. you know?
Yeah.
And so that's the way, you know, I look at it. But if I have that motto, if I don't see it, I don't say it. I can't.
Yeah.
Because you're doing them a disservice by saying something that's not true. If you're making it up because you got to pay your light bill, you're in the wrong business, you know?
Exactly. I know it. You know, and there's been people that are like, well, how do we know you're not fraud? How do you know? Because it is hard to make this a full-time job and to live off the money that psychic mediums make. Believe me, you have to love what you do. And if you're out there just like, I mean, yeah, there are some, unfortunately, there are so many people that are out here doing it for the wrong reasons. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I think it's great if you want to be known for something you love doing or whatnot, but like, love and authenticity is really the key to things, because right. The universe is not going to, you gotta meet,
right.
They're not, you know, right. It's not gonna help you out if you're
right.
not.
Right. You gotta be genuine. And I've told people this too. You need to be as genuine as you would want somebody else to be, you know? And
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, when people ask me why I'm doing this, it's like, well, I've lost loved ones. And, you know, I started to get into the mediumship a little bit before my papa died. And he was a really big part of my life. So, like, you know, I've lost loved ones. And I can understand. And people will think, well, oh, this is demonic. This, that, and the third. It's actually healing for not only us, but the people on the other side as well. There's often a lot of messages and things that never get said. So it's like,
right. Well, let me ask you this. Now, would you agree that I would say that, you know, there's a lot, let me make a statement first. There's a lot of people that who are of religious stature or even just Christians say that, you know, when a person dies, so they die, they go to heaven or wherever, and that's it. Now, I've always said this. I'm like, I wish it was that easy, but it can be. And I would say that for about 85% of the people, it's that other percentage, that 15%, that linger, stay for unheard of business or unfinished business or guilt or fear or confusion of, you know, how they died and this. There, I do believe that there are that 15%. Now I'm just a generalization for the percentage. I don't know. This is just what
right.
I get. You know what I mean? That I can just rationalize, say, I would say it's about this and it's about that. You know what I mean? I'm not right. a professional percentage person. I don't know. I didn't go to college to be a professional, you know, professor or anything like that. But I just think that there is a small percentage that there are more of a percentage of people that take the fast track and say boom boom they're gone, you know what I mean? But there is a small percentage of ones that do not, and it makes up of a lot of, not a lot of people, but enough to notice.
And where, because, yeah, because the world is like full of what, 7 billion people, right? So I mean, like, yeah, I absolutely agree, because there are times where not only are people sometimes not willing to accept their death, sometimes they're not even willing to accept the things they've done wrong in life. And so, you know how like hurt people, or those people that are so hateful in their life and they just don't turn over that other leaf?
Right.
They do not cross over. They stay stuck. Or the, unfortunately, people that attack other people physically, like murderers or rapists, unfortunately, right. People that struggle to look inward, they're not going to go to the other side. In fact, right. They're going to stay lingering in the shadows, oftentimes where people suffered the most, like hospitals or this or that. They're going to be lingering in the shadows wanting to prey on.
Right. So you're also kind of referring to the fact that, there are the certain amount that, because that was their main makeup, you know, the murderers or killers, you know, whatever their makeup was and their characteristics were and all that, but their lifestyle was like that. And yeah, the ones that do get stuck after they pass, and, you know, no matter how bad of a life or whoever they killed or did whatever, the number one reason is they, in the back of their mind, and that little bit of that fear of reprisal, they're afraid because they don't know what's going to happen. And they figured, well, if I just stay on this side, then I can control everything. Well, and it doesn't always work that way, but there are times where there's ones that are there, and then they partner up with other things that aren't so holy, and it gets to be a whole different ugly scene. I ran into that and I had to go into this location with my team, and I basically super guarded everything and blessed everything and did everything, and I kind of overshot the mark. So what I did was I ended up kind of like freezing the whole house, and so nobody could move. And it was just, and it was crazy, because afterwards, we didn't get anything, and it was supposed to be one of the most haunted places around. And it was like, and I was able to sleep on the floor in this place, and I didn't feel anything. Usually I have dreams. I didn't even dream. I'm like, oh yeah, I kind of overshot the mark. So yeah, you know, when you're trying to protect yourself, especially from something that you can't see, or the, you know, dare I say, the demonic aspect of it, which is a small percentage again, I tell people that if you actually were to see one, you would probably crap yourself and run out the door.
People don't realize, I know. And you know, you're going to be scared having a paranormal experience. Don't get me wrong. You're not going to be fearing for your life. There can be a destructive ghost that's beating up your house. It's going to want to beat you up. Like you're going to feel like terrified. There is no mistaking something demonic when you have that in your presence, for sure. Mm-hmm. And then as far as like protecting yourself goes, you know how spirits drain batteries? So do mediums. So when we try to protect ourselves, our energy, I mean, I don't know about you, but I've drained batteries with my energy. I've taken out lights and like, I mean, I see mediums doing that quite frequently. So I'm like, you know, sorry, my dog's whining. He's getting excited. People are coming home.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I mean, it's just with the whole energy and frequency and with all that, and a lot of people don't realize that everybody has that ability. And I've told people that. I'm like, we all have that ability to do that. You know, we have the ability for, you know, to connect spiritually and this and that. It's just whatever your path was beforehand. You know, if you chose to do this, then this is what you're doing. You know what I mean? So I try not to live in fear of, you know, of what people would, you know, what people say, and what I've been through that ridicule. I know what that's like. You know,
right.
I've been laughed at. And, but, you know.
You know?
Yeah.
I feel like people try to laugh at psychic mediums or people with abilities really often, but like you get to a point where it's like, you know, I don't toot my own horn, but I see other mediums, I see what I'm capable of, and it's like I openly do my thing now, because it's like people are gonna laugh no matter what until I say something that actually throws them off, or something happened, and that, you know, it's just all about experience and perception.
And another old saying of, you know, people are afraid of things they don't understand. You know, so
yeah,
you know, I mean, it's just, if you don't understand it, and you're going to be afraid of it, or you're going to be leery of it. You know, I mean, I don't know anything about metallurgy either. I'm just, you know, I'm not afraid of it, but I'm just like, okay. Or, you know, certain jobs that people do, you know, I would never be able to do that. I would never be able to be a skyscraper, you know, builder. I mean, I couldn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know what all that entails, you know, and it would just be scary, because I'm not afraid of heights, but it would just be freaky. You know what I mean? Or So, I mean, it's just like being, you know, having spiritual conversations with other people, they think that, you know, I've had this recently. I've had somebody just say, "God, you're just weird." I'm like, "Oh, yeah. Don't I know it?" You know?
Right.
But
yeah.
But,
and it is true. People don't understand it. They're just going to say it's weird. It's not true. It's not this. And it's like, okay, well, go on the CIA government documents. Like, go read it yourself if you want to.
Right. That is a whole different show right there. I mean, talking about the CIA and remote viewing and all that. And oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And they, you know, if you want to know the information, you kind of got to be in the now. You know, you really got to kind of look into the, you know, what's going on now in certain areas. And I'm not talking about the politics aspect of it. I'm just talking about the world in general.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on, you know, and, you know, we see a lot of different stories of, you know, people losing their lives early for stupid reasons or for whatever reason or accidents and this and that. And it makes me sad because it's something that I could have helped, not prevent, but helped in some way that would redirect it in a different way. Do you ever feel that way where, it, you know, having the gifts that you and I both do have, at some point in your life where you thought, all I want to do is help people? If I had the ability, it's almost like, it's like for you, like being a Supergirl. You know what I mean? It's almost like having that ability to influence people in a positive way to make positive choices.
Yeah, exactly. Well, like, and I don't know if you've ever gotten the messenger of death syndrome that some mediums get where, like, spirits will, like, come to you or you'll get information on a person right before they die. Like, I mean, a day before they die type of thing. And I've gotten that. And then, you know, I didn't even understand what was going on at the time. It was funny because I was, like, sitting in my friend's car. It was on her wedding day, actually, me, her, and her cousin. We had to run back to an apartment to grab a mascara. And they were, like, joking. They were like, "Oh, what are you picking up, Alex? Da-da-da-da-da." And I was like, "You know, I'm seeing this man, and he kind of looks like your dad." And she was like, "That's funny, that is my dad." And we saw, he was supposed to show up at the wedding that day, and he ended up passing away the next day.
Oh my God.
So instances like that, where it's like, oh my gosh, was I supposed to help? Was I supposed to do something? But it's, you know, it's such a weird thing.
Mm-hmm. Right, because you wonder if it was something that you could have done to prevent that, you know. And it's just like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, I've gotten now lately, in the last probably couple months, I was working in a place where I knew it was active and it was haunted, and I'm not working there anymore, but it was only for a few months, but you know, they knew about me, you know, and they knew who I was, they knew what I could do and this and that, you know. And I helped a couple guys that worked there kind of like find their own path, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
it was kind of like it was just weird. I know there was a reason why I was there, but I'm not there anymore. But it was just really bizarre that there's certain places that I've been that it's almost like I was here for a reason. And now lately, since I haven't been at that job, I've been getting where I get, you know, like when I close my eyes, I'll have eyes looking back at me. I don't know if you've ever gotten that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I used to get that all the time, and then it's kind of stopped. And it stopped when I started this other job that I'm no longer at, and I would never get them. And I was like, "Oh, that's really, really weird." Fast forward to now, I'm not working there anymore. And the last 3-4 nights ago, I've been getting these eyes looking back at me, different sets of eyes, and different pictures of different people. And you know, right before bed, you know. So I'm kind of like, okay. Where I was at, was it something that was draining me, or was it something that, you know, was it something that was draining me in a sense where it was affecting my gifts and was it not right for me? You know what I mean? Was it kind of like, I felt like I had a virus, you know what I mean? Like I had a download, like something was just not vibing with my frequency and it was screwing me up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I kind of, that's the way I kind of look at things. I'm all about placing myself in a place where I belong, or that spirit and the universe wants me, you know what I mean? Or that's where I'm supposed to be. Have you ever felt that way where you had a place to go and you felt, this is completely wrong? This is, I do not belong here. Why am I here? Have you experienced that?
I want to say there's a couple places, and the one I can think of, again, it was in a place in New York. I believe it was called Delaware Road. It's a pretty well-known haunted road in Clarence, New York. And it has a little bit of darker history to it. And I, both times I have gone there, felt like I shouldn't be there. I felt like something was going to try and attach to me. I, you know, whether it's negative or lower, something not good. And I remember returning there and I went to do a green light method, which I found out, I believe might have been invented by Kelsey Davies, and not 100%, but it's like the Estes, but it's not. And you put noise canceling headphones on as a medium.
Mm-hmm.
And you go somewhere where people cannot, you know, you can't hear the other person asking the questions. Mm-hmm. And then you have those other people asking the questions. You're supposed to shout whatever is coming to you, but you can't hear the questions being asked. And I remember being there. I can't remember what I was saying, but I think the spirit was getting pretty testy. But I remember closing my eyes and I had these headphones in, and I had like, I had felt like movement next to me, and a rock was actually kicked in my direction, and I felt somebody standing over me, like wanting me to leave, like they did not want me there anymore. Right. So that's one instance. And then I've had another instance where I felt like I was supposed to definitely be at a place as well. So like, yeah, I've kind of experienced like both ends of that stick, I guess you could say, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where I think things happen for a reason. And I think that spirit, I think the universe and, you know, my guides and God and everybody are always looking out for me, but it's ultimately that we make our own choices and we make our own path, but we always have to be mindful of our surroundings. You know, I mean, there's all so many different things that, I mean, if you actually think about it, I mean, people would think, yeah, I may be a medium, but why, you know, why would I want to go to a haunted location and, you know, connect? It's something that calls me, something that drives me to go, you know what I mean? I want to be able to, you know, I have helped people have lost, or I've helped people who are lost cross, and that's a result, you know, a really rewarding feeling, but it's kind of like, my main goal is I just want to help you, living and the dead. You know, I want to be able to help.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to really describe that, how bad that I really want to be able just to help people. And there's got to be a story behind that I don't even know of why my spirit is telling me that I just want to help.
Well, I think it's because, like, we generally help people just doing what we do by relaying messages, but then we are helping people understand life and death and understand that things just kind of circle around differently, and we're just kind of reborn, and it's just like an energy is never created or destroyed. It can only be changed when they talk about quantum physics and stuff like that. So it's just like... Yeah, I think we're meant to help people, and that's what I feel drawn to help people with, and help people understand that this is not demonic, this is very, very healing, and it's a type of healing you can't go to a doctor to get, because you're helping yourself hear from your loved one again, and have those deep conversations that you didn't get to have prior to them passing, hear from them again, catch up almost, and it's healing them as well. And preparing them for the next lifetime, because, you know, we soul contracts and we have to revisit that and we sign up for this life before we get here type of thing, you know?
Right. So, I mean, if you really think about it, and, you know, there's people that saying, oh, it's all, you're talking to demons, you're talking to this, and you're, you know, the loved one's a demon or whatever. And so, okay. Look at it this way. Mm-hmm. So if that is a supposed demon, that loved one, and then you're connecting with that, or this living person that's sitting in front of you, and you're getting messages, and you're getting help, heartfelt love messages, or things that they didn't really realize about that person, or how they felt about that person. Why on God's green earth would demons give a shit what your love language was?
They,
you know what I mean?
Exactly. Demonic hate love. The demonic entities hate love. They actually want to cause quarrels. They do not, they quite literally would not, demonic entities are going to be whispering like terrible things in your ear or not.
Right. They're not going to be talking about how much I loved you when you gave me that rose 10 years ago on a park bench back in New Orleans, you know, or something like that. They're not going to fucking care. They're not that smart. They're not going to waste time to do that. All they want to do is just diminish
you know,
the light that is within the sender.
Like, I guess I can understand, because people can be very afraid of the fact that the demonic can be very manipulative. They could potentially pretend to look like a loved one. They can pretend to look like a saint. They could pretend to look like, I mean, whoever they want. But a trained medium is going to know
the difference.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm sure you know, but like, and a demonic entity cannot portray a perfect image of a human or of, because they're not human, they are inhuman. They can't portray a perfect image like that. So there's going to be a flaw, and there's going to be some sort of sign with demonic trademark that you look out for.
Right. Yeah, it's just really bizarre. Hold that thought a second. For some reason, says that I'm trying to reconnect, and I don't know why that I shouldn't be. Oh my goodness. Okay, so it still says it's trying to reconnect, but we're gonna finish up anyways because it's almost that time anyways. So yeah. But I want to thank you again for coming on, and I really appreciate this. You were fantastic, and it's always a pleasure talking with you and connecting with you again, you know, kind of energies connect, you know what I mean? So, and I'm grateful for that. If you want to kind of let people know, what you'll be doing and when you're going to be on TikTok for your readings and whatnot, you can go ahead and do that.
Yeah, honestly, I do have a website right now if they wanted to check out. It's alexgaska.com, all one word on Google. You can find me on TikTok, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on Facebook or YouTube, and you can book a session with me just by messaging me. You can hit me up for a painting, or if you are having paranormal issues in your home and you think you might need a consult, or to consult me during a live. I do try to enlighten people on my TikTok lives, like, daily. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you again. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. This will be, you know, everybody will be able to hear this if you're not listening to it already on podcast of where you get your podcast, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple, etc. On behalf of Studio 6 Media, and I am the host of Paranormal Diner. Thanks guys, and I appreciate it, and we will be back sometime soon with another new guest, and I also will have, I've got so many different shows, Alex, I mean, I'm constantly keeping busy, But yeah, so So if you want to check out all my shows, you can go to Studio 6 Media on YouTube, and then you can see all the shows that I have, because I'll be here all day listing them all. But I have some really great guests coming up. So having said that, I want to bid everybody an adieu. So
yeah, thank you for having me on.
Thank you. Well, it's stuck now. Fantastic.
Oh no, it's stuck recording.
It's still trying to reconnect, and I don't know why. But
interesting.
Yeah.
Is it me?
Nope. No, it's. It won't even let me stop.
Maybe it's the spirits over on my end. Maybe they're messing with their stuff. It's pretty haunted here.